Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself
and for those facing homelessness,
because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hello and welcome to episode 278 of See You Next Wednesday, a weekly pop culture and film podcast where a single die roll decides what movies we have to see. This episode drops on Wednesday, July 26th, 2017. My name is Dan Gorman and it was all a prank. You chumps fell for it. That's not even a picture of my mom. It's a picture of my butt cheek. I just squished it up to look like a woman's face.
My name is Casey Lyons, and shh, let's go bang a pirate.
My name's Greg.
My name's Greg.
I'm on my way. Oh, Greg's watching en route. We are streaming today on See You Next Wednesday, and Greg is on the chat saying that the show is boring.
What an asshole.
If you would like to get in touch with us, please email us at info@modernsuperior.com. Go to iTunes, rate, and review us. Modernsuperior.com is where you can find our show, amongst others. You can find us on YouTube at Modern Superior is the username, and at SYNWPC is our Twitter and Facebook handles. Please tell all your friends about us in real life. And you can go to modernsuperior.com, click on the pledge button in the top corner, and throw a couple dollars to us. We are going to be hard at work at some new types of content. We have been doing the streams, and we've doing the Slack channel and the bonus podcast, but we're going to get more and more and more, and we're going to get the other shows into it as well soon. Greg wants to know which one of us has more teeth.
Actually, most of these are chiclets. One of them's a Clorette. See if you can guess which one.
One of them is a Thrill. purple one.
Oh, Dan. They're all Thrills.
Yeah. We have lots to talk about this week.
Do our American listeners know about Thrills? Is that just a Canadian thing?
I feel
thing?
Like Thrills is not a Canadian thing. But maybe not. If you know of Thrills, the soap-tasting gum.
The most delicious thing that ever tasted like soap.
It's great. Anyway, lots to talk about this week. Before we get to all the stuff that we usually have to talk about, let's say to our listeners, go to modernsuperior.com and listen to the latest episode of A Frame Apart, where you can hear Greg, Casey, and myself.
Listen to the other episodes as well.
Yes.
But if you really like us,
you'll want to listen to that one.
Yeah, we're all
over
it.
Which is chock full of trash cinema discussion. It's a good one. It's fun.
So whenever I hear the term chock full of whatever, I always think of remember Wacky Packs?
Yes.
There was one. It was
Wacky Packs were my jam.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I fucking love the shit out of this. chock full of guts.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Instead
of
chock full of nuts.
This coffee that we're drinking right now.
Yeah.
Chock full of nuts.
Oh shit.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it tastes so much like nuts.
Oh, yeah. It's Folgers. I just dipped my nuts in it before I gave it to you.
It's chock full of minutes.
Oh, Greg is not here, and we're off the rails.
Yeah.
We have lots of stuff to talk about. It was Comic-Con, the con of comics this week, I guess, right?
Yeah.
SDCC
2017. That's why it's fucking... That's why the internet is shitting trailers.
Yeah, right, so we have lots of trailers to talk about. Greg is going to get here. So, as mentioned, Greg is on the way. He's on the chat. So, if you're watching on YouTube, you can see him tell us not to drink all of his coffee.
Yeah, if you want to hear Greg's parts, just read them.
Yeah, but he will be bursting through the door at any minute when he gets here. I've left the door unlocked. If you know where I live, please don't come and kill me. But we have lots
but
of stuff to talk about.
Come and kill me if you like.
Yeah.
I need the rest.
So let's get to some stuff that... let's back end the comic stuff in case he gets here in time.
All right.
Did you watch the trailer for the motion picture Ready Player One?
Yes, I did.
Yes.
Yes,
here
I
it is
did.
On screen.
Yeah. Now, this is a picture of the main character, Kid, with everybody's favorite Iron Giant.
Yes. Now, I did not read this book.
Nor did I.
Nor did you. My brother read it, and he very much enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
And from what I gather, it is about a world where virtual reality is king,
yeah.
And you can live in two, like there's two. It's like a Second Life situation. It's like there's a world of VR, and there's a normal world, and the normal world's kind of fucked up.
Yeah, the normal world is almost unlivable or
yeah.
something. So everybody goes and lives in the
yes.
VR world.
But everyone can go and live in the VR world and celebrate their pop culture obsession. So there's a lot of like, I'm just going to go in there and be Freddy Krueger, I guess. And the gist of the story, from what I gathered, was the creator of this video game dies, and the main character is looking for an Easter egg that this guy has left in his game, and whoever finds it will get money or something. And there's all these clues that he's left in pointing at this hidden Easter egg. And so everyone, it's like a mad world kind of situation.
Right.
Everyone's trying to find this Easter egg.
Right.
Now, I don't know much about this other than that.
Yeah, and other
and Spielberg.
Than the fact that it is directed by Spielberg, and it's got a ton of your favorite properties.
Yeah.
You'll see the DeLorean
driving around.
You see all sorts of stuff like that. The trailer didn't tell me much other than this movie is a conveyance for nostalgia.
Yeah, and I feel like the book was kind of that way. A lot of people that I know that talked about the book were telling me like, oh, the way it weaves the like references in are really well done.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, isn't it still just a bunch of references, or is it to a better purpose?
Hopefully.
I don't know. I don't know. I and this trailer doesn't tell you that much, other than it looks fairly pedestrian.
Yeah, it looks like I'm kind of happy to have Spielberg back. I'll say that. Yeah, I don't know. I'm wondering if it's going to be kind of Minority Report-esque.
It certainly looks Minority Report-esque in that there are, you know, motorcycles that look like the ones in Minority Report and the cars look very similar.
Yeah.
So it looks like it lives in that world, or maybe that's one of the references.
Yes.
I wonder how many Spielberg references there will be. But
yeah,
yeah,
the Jurassic Park T-Rex going to show up.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd like that.
Is E.T. going to fucking get all up in your biz? Who knows?
Get up in your biz?
Yeah, you know how he does. I don't know. I wasn't that impressed with the trailer.
Yeah.
I was like, I recognize that thing, and I recognize that. But
I
hate this about myself. Maybe I'm just joyless now, but they didn't. That wasn't enough for me. I was like, I'm not convinced that this is going to be a good story. But again, I don't know that much about the property.
Yeah, I think everyone obviously can tell that we're talking about it as people that, as we mentioned, didn't read the book. But I do hope that it has that Spielberg kind of magic. It seems like there's going to be a lot of chases and stuff. But it didn't give me a reason to care beyond Spielberg. Things that I know and love are going to be in it, and there'll be a lot of running around and explosions.
That's the thing. If I didn't know this was Spielberg, if I didn't know it was based on a beloved book, I would have just been like, yeah, this is gross.
That's fair. Speaking of, I tried to watch Pixels. You watched Pixels, didn't you?
I did watch Pixels.
Did you see it in the screen of the bigs, or did you watch it at home?
I watched it. It was a
Netflix?
A little guy, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I feel like somebody on the show, was it you that said, like, yeah, it was what it was?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Greg didn't like it.
Yeah. It wasn't very good.
Which I mean, it's not very good. It's you know... it's still Adam Sandler thing.
I
it has Kevin James in it. That's never a good thing. But I was pleasantly surprised that every once in a while I was like, this movie has a little bit of life in it.
Yeah, I liked the effects. But I will say that I was surprised at how like how hard it relied on the Sandler tropes. I thought like because it was going to try and be like it's Ghostbusters, but for Adam Sandler that it would get away from that. But like the whole first half of the movie is like, this woman's a psycho. What a bitch. Yeah. It's like, oh no.
Yeah.
This is and terrible.
And he's just a
and he's an asshole.
Blue collar bozo who's kind of charming and kids like him and stuff. It's like, I don't think he's that charming and I don't think anybody likes him. But I was just like, there was enough in it. And honestly, maybe I'm just being really hypocritical because I feel like Pixar is like, hey, there's Centipede.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and they're interacting with Centipede and that's fine.
Totally. I get that. Yeah. And I liked that of it about it.
Yeah.
So we'll see about Ready Player One.
Yeah.
What something that we will also see is Angel Has Fallen. Now, you received a request from a listener to speak about this. Did you?
I did.
I didn't see that.
I don't know much about this. It's the third in the epic is Has Fallen trilogy is
yes,
fallen.
The dot 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 Has Fallen trilogy.
Yeah, yeah. Starting with Olympus Has Fallen, where terrorists take over the White House, and what is he, CIA agent,
something like that,
some kind of crazy agent, Mike
that
Banning,
dude.
Yeah, Gerard Butler, and his only good performance. he just fucking destroys terrorists and property, and it's fucking awesome. And London Has Fallen.
Yes.
Was the second in the trilogy, which is fucking fantastic.
Yeah.
Yes, Greg LeGros is saying it's basically Air Force One, this new one where Mike Banning has the president on the plane and then terrorists try to take over the plane and then Mike Banning shoots everybody in the face and goes, fuck, plane. So it's, yeah, I don't know, man. I'm fucking super into it. I love the first ones, the first two, so much. And they're just getting stupider.
I hope that they do it right. I want them to inch back into the Olympus Has Fallen area, not the London Has Fallen area. Get away from the video gamey, shoot 'em up, stab 'em up stuff, and get back to the so over-the-top ridiculous. Like, I don't know. Like, obviously, London Has Fallen is insane and over-the-top ridiculous, too. I just felt like there was something about it that nudged the wrong way for me. And I do feel like we were talking on the A Frame Apart episode, you said specifically, maybe this movie will be dumb James Bond.
Yeah.
And I kind of was like, yes, turn it, just tweak this next one a little bit back towards that way. Like, I want this plane doing loops and people hanging off.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Start giving him stupid gadgets and shit and letting him kill people in crazy ways. Gore this shit up. And, Greg's giving you the, I think you need to watch it again.
Okay. Yeah, I have put it on recently-ish, about like a month or two ago.
But
I still maintain that it's got crazy shit in it. Like, it is crazy over the top. There's just something about the tone of the sequel that nudged the wrong way for me.
It's so fucking stupid.
I know, it's dumb. And so is the first one. But just in such a minuscule different way. I don't know what it is. Again, Greg wants me to watch it again and again and again.
Yeah, watch it
different
until
angles.
You love it.
Yeah. So Angel Has Fallen, I guess we'll see about that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Something we'll see. Else that we will see are these trailers that came out. Now, I don't think this was specifically a San Diego Comic-Con trailer, but you specifically mentioned that you wanted to talk about this.
Yeah, because upon first hearing about this, one, it's called The Snowman.
The Snowman. There's a trailer. Go check it out.
And from this picture, one assumes that it's about a killer snowman.
Yeah, and the image that we have up is one that if you search for the snowman, you'll find it. It's like a guy, and his head is just a ball of snow with two kind of coal looking eyes.
Yeah.
And it almost reminds me of, there was this like YouTube trailer for a horror movie that I, as far as I know, was a terrible movie called like Smiley. And it had this like cut up smile face or something.
Yeah,
and I feel
it
got by only
skin face.
Yeah. I feel like that got greenlit or got by only on the fact that I had a good thumbnail for a YouTube video. And I was like, is this going to be like that? Like, oh, here's a creepy like snow face. Greg says from the picture, I thought it was about a killer pig's nose.
You thought what? Snowman was?
Yeah. It kind of looks like a pig's nose.
Oh, I see. I get you. Yeah, I can see that. But yeah, so then you watch the trailer for this and you're like, oh, this is going to be the coolest movie ever.
Yeah, and here's the thing. It's based on a book, and this seems like the kind of idea that would work maybe better on the page than in a movie. It's like about a murderer. He's doing a Zodiac thing where he's taunting the police and he's writing little notes to them and he's leaving his victims with their head cut off and replaced their
with a snowman's head. Yeah.
And the trailer, like, it looks like it could go either way, but I'm with you. I'm leaning towards this looks like the kind of serial killer kind of movie that I want to see, like that
it looks
Zodiac-esque thing.
You know what it reminded me of a lot is Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah.
In its it knows that it's going to be doing some pretty fucked up shit.
Yeah.
But it still is a movie that takes itself seriously and kind of rides that line. And now this is just one trailer, but it feels like it rides that line pretty good.
And it looks like it's a trailer that shows you so much. Like, they really go far into... Here's a bunch of stuff from the movie. Mm-hmm. But it looks like it could be really good. But there's just something nagging at the back of my brain being like, this could also end up being a piece of shit.
Yeah.
But I'm hoping that it's not.
Great. I have a lot of hope. It's Michael Fassbender. Now, that doesn't make a movie good, but he's generally good.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm on board.
Yeah, I'm totally on board. I want to see this for sure.
Yeah.
The snowman.
And if it is about a big giant snow pig head man, all the better.
Yeah, and he seems to have... Did you see the counselor?
Now I can't see anything but a big
pig's
nose.
Face. Yeah. Did you see the counselor?
No.
Okay, well, the counselor has a thing in it that looks like this movie is trying to do where there's like a little machine that it puts a wire around your neck and it just tightens and tightens and tightens until your head comes off. It seems like in this movie this guy's using that thing to cut off their heads.
There's definitely something similar to that.
Yeah.
The counselor. Now, that movie is
terrible.
Is universally reviled, as I understand.
It's the worst.
I gotta see it.
Some people like it.
Cormac McCarthy wrote or directed? Ridley Scott directed it, didn't he?
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're not here to talk about that.
No, we're here to talk about Bright.
I don't know if he can only kill in winter.
Yeah, Kelsey on the YouTube
like a pig.
Is wondering if he can only kill in the winter. Maybe not. What in the summer? Maybe he does like he kills people and he puts their heads on like a little beach body
beach
that looks
ball,
muscly
yeah,
or a
yeah.
booby.
He puts their head through one of those cutouts.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah. But then the head falls right.
I was
through,
thinking, but like
and he's like ah, I wish
yeah,
it was winter.
Or he builds like a little mermaid, like in the sand,
oh, in the
and
sand
puts the head
and
on
puts
the
their head on that. That would he's a jaunty killer.
And then they're like, there is no body underneath this sand.
In the winter or in the fall,
he makes you a
pumpkin spice head.
Yeah. So Casey,
what?
Yeah, I think was this on your list as well of things
this,
to talk about?
Yeah, this was one. This was this is a movie called Bright.
Is it a movie or is it a show?
It's a movie.
Okay, I thought
Netflix,
it was a show for some
no,
reason.
No, it's a Netflix original movie.
Yeah,
starring Will Smith as Bad Boys.
Yeah,
and
Joel Edgerton.
Joel Edgerton
as a monster.
A monster who is his partner.
Yeah,
a la Alien Nation.
Yes,
in a world with a bunch of stupid fairies and shit.
Yeah, and I do. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I do believe that this was written by Max Landis.
Oh, that does sound familiar. He's
and
not
it's direct-
averse to doing something stupid.
Yes, and it's directed by David Ayer of Suicide Squad previously.
Yes, well, good for him. He's made shitty movies before, and this movie looks stupid.
It looks really dumb.
It looks
although
insanely stupid.
It looks like the dumb that I want to see until I realize it's directed by David Ayer and Max Landis, because I feel like they've burned me. Both of those people have burned me, because I was a Max Landis defender for a long time after Chronicle.
I was a Galaxy defender for a long time.
Yeah, and I was also saying, I have high hopes for Suicide Squad for a while. I was like, maybe this will be the DC that turns it around.
Yeah.
And both of those people have kind of burned me. So I feel like even the sort of, oh, well, maybe this will be ridiculous in a way that'll be fun. In the back of my brain, I'm like, Yeah, but these people suck.
Yeah.
You're not going to want it.
Everything about this, it feels like it's in the hands of people who suck.
Yeah.
I love Will Smith. I love Joel Edgerton. I'm a big defender of both of those people. But, you know, if you drop them into the middle of a piece of shit,
yeah,
it's still shit.
Yeah.
So
Greg says it's going to be big and dumb, and then it's going to try and teach me a lesson.
Yeah, it's going to try to teach you a lesson about tolerance or something, and I'm not that tolerance is bad. Yay, tolerance, I guess. But,
I like that you're just, like, it's going to teach me about tolerance, and I don't fucking like that.
I'm intolerant of that. Even the trailer feels like it's trying to teach you something.
Yeah, if this thing is great, I would be very surprised.
I'll be very happy if it is, and I will be first in line.
Yes, absolutely.
In my house to watch Netflix.
Greg will not tolerate it.
Yeah, but Greg, you're racist. I'm going to watch the shit out of it as soon as it comes on Netflix, but I guarantee it's going to be dumb as fuck.
Yes, I agree. So, Bright, we'll see.
Yeah.
Now, we're getting into the heavy hitters here in terms of trailers. We're going to keep the comic book stuff at the back in case Greg arrives in time.
In time.
But here's the trailer that happened.
In time.
The Shape of Water. The new Del Toro joint.
Yeah.
The trailer is out there. It has a crazy cast. And I didn't see Crimson Peak. Did you?
Oh, Greg's about to ejaculate.
Greg just chatted us. I'm close.
No, I didn't see Crimson Peak because it looks awful.
Yeah, I want to see it, but I also don't. And so I wasn't really... I like Del Toro stuff.
Yeah, I like the Del
Toro
stuff that I like.
Yeah.
And I don't like what I don't like.
Yeah.
This looks like...
Craig is texting us, you guys should kiss.
Well, when you say it, it puts too much pressure on us. No, I can't kiss them. This feels like actually the kind of Del Toro that I'm right in the middle on, which is like a Pan's Labyrinth type of thing, where I'm like, I kind of like this, but also I kind of don't.
Yeah, and you know what, though? I was kind of... A new Del Toro wasn't really on my radar, and then when this dropped, I've seen the trailer twice, once in theaters and once at home, and I'm fucking stoked for it.
Yeah.
I just think that even just... on art design alone.
Look, it looks fucking
dope. It looks crazy good.
And that creature man is pretty cool.
Yeah.
And listen, Michael Shannon is playing a fucking creepy bad guy.
Yeah, totally.
And that's awesome. And fucking Michael Stuhlbarg is in it, and he's the fucking greatest. So look, I'll watch this movie. Of course I will.
Totally.
Because I love sea creatures.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of sea creatures.
And I'm usually not a big, like, fantasy mixing with reality. Like, it takes the right movie to do it. But something about this trailer and the idea of it being... It doesn't look similar, but in the same way that, like, Okja was about a relationship between, like, a little girl
and a fantastical
creature.
Right.
I feel like this is going to hit the same kind of note, but maybe more grown up of a relationship, because it seems a bit more like, because she's obviously grown up, and it's like two sort of older people in a weird situation. Maybe is it going to be romantic? I don't know.
Yeah, I think this movie actually... all right. Yes, well, then you are correct.
In the chat, they're with Casey in regards to Del Toro. That's David.
Yeah, like, I don't know. I feel like this movie is on the peak of possibly trying to teach me something. But if it doesn't try to teach me anything, I'll be very refreshed by it.
I don't know. Bright seemed like it was going to be like, hey, we're substituting aliens for different races and I'm going to teach you something. But this to me feels more just like, hey, obviously there's going to be an element of this movie that's about like, treating this creature properly and like she needs to break him out and
well it's
and
gonna
it
be
becomes a monster.
Yeah, it's gonna be there's gonna be parallels between because she's a deaf mute, I think.
Yeah.
Or just mute. And there's gonna be parallels between you know, the way we treat people with disabilities or something.
Totally.
Or maybe not.
I just feel like this is less gonna be less about like the lesson and more just about like it's just part of the movie. The Bright seemed more like, see what
it's
we're
just
doing
geared towards yeah. that. And also it's stupid people trying to do that. So yeah, I don't know. I'm cautiously optimistic about this, but yeah. Del Toro is just not my favorite. You know, he's like Burton, where he makes these worlds that are lovely to look at, but the movies within them are a little scattery.
I understand what you mean.
Me too.
Oh, Greg is here, I believe. Oh my God, Greg's here.
Nope.
Yes.
Nope.
Yeah.
Nope.
Greg.
He is.
Nope.
Yeah. No, Greg, you are.
Thanks, buddy.
You are here just in time to talk about a trailer.
Oh.
The trailer that we have all been excited about.
Yes.
This is a trailer called Thor Ragnarok. Baby.
Good name for a trailer.
Yeah. Yeah. What did you think of this, Greg? I want you to run us through this because I know you know more about what's going on here with the Planet Hulk stuff.
Well,
or the at least parallels to
sure.
Yeah,
what I've really grown to accept about all of the film stuff and the borrowing of certain ideas and elements is, as much as I will accept the original Marvel universe and then the Ultimates universe, the film universe is a totally different thing. So I'm not going to worry about it being correct to Planet Hulk because it's just a different different medium for storytelling and it's fine. So they're using elements of it because they won't make a Hulk movie for some reason.
Yeah.
Originally, I thought it's because they don't want him to talk. That's what I was like. Well, Hulk's never going to talk, so they don't know what to do. And
but then
the end of
this trailer
was like, fuck you, Greg. You don't know what the fuck you're talking about. Hulk's talking all
Hulk's talking for
I thought
sure.
that was a weird line.
Yeah.
Like, fuck
it's very
Greg.
Direct. Yeah, I know. I guess they listen.
Direct marketing.
And honestly, I was so stunned that he was talking. I didn't even hear the dialogue. I was just like, what? And also, like, he got a haircut.
Yeah.
He looks like responsible Hulk. It's
awesome.
Yeah.
Business Hulk.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Business casual Hulk.
Maybe they're
Thank
leaning
God
towards his
Friday.
Mr. Fix-It phase, which was the worst. Oh, what a nightmare. Gray Hulk, you suck. So anyway, other than that, this is just more of the same tone from the first Ragnarok trailer, what we were promised.
Yeah.
Let's go fun. Colorful. The colors are all over the place. The fucking poster is amazing.
That poster is fucking dope.
It's so good. Like Spider-Man bounced back hard on that just fucking ridiculous Photoshop poster with that fucking great comic book art one. That the spirals. So good. And then this is so gorgeous. I'm so in love with it. Amazing.
I'll just look at it.
Just,
you can just
absolutely.
Look at it.
So pretty. So many colors. And I know that, you know, we're like, oh, well, Guardians of the Galaxy, and that's where Marvel and everyone's trying to lean now. And I was like, yeah, they're definitely doing that. But at the same time, I feel like this movie is way more of an homage to Flash Gordon than anything else. Like, it's really got this big, out-of-control, campy vibe that just seems great. Like, again, Thor is a really hard character to sell live action.
Yeah.
Like, really, really hard to not make it really, really dumb.
But it also seems like they've really, like, Chris Hemsworth is fucking pretty funny.
Yeah, he is. Well, that's what really helped the first movie, is that it was genuinely clever
and funny.
Oh, the
first one's super funny.
I was like, I don't know who this guy is that cast as Thor. I get that he's big and stuff, but hopefully he's great. And he was very, very good at the comic stuff and not making fun of the character, though.
Yeah.
Which is hard to do, but he did a very good job. Right. I'm just, even though I then in rewatching, because I didn't even take in any of the dialogue when Hulk started talking, because I was just going like, what the fuck? Then I rewatched it, and I'm like, well, I don't care for that scene. it seemed a little...
a little bit like, right.
But, you know.
But I loved it, actually.
Sure.
I mean,
I'm glad he's talking. The voice sounds great, and it's a good push in the very, very correct direction. Because, again, the non-talking, like, walking around Oaf Hulk is 45 years ago. Like, he's been talking for a long, long time.
Yeah.
Not in, you know, they did.
And also, cinematically, I'm not sure how much more there is you can
arena. Yeah, he punches shit real good. But, like really now, we need something else.
Totally. There needs to be another level to the character or else.
And I'm glad they've, and it's fine. It wasn't a hard voice to land on, you know. It's not like there's a complicated font or something that they don't know what to do. Like, what could he possibly sound like?
I'm so green.
What makes you so mighty, Thor?
The interesting thing, though, about that final scene is that in the news today, there was some kind of a statistic or quote from the director saying about, like, oh, like 70% of scenes had improvisation in it and stuff.
Yeah.
And I feel like that clip at the end is the one that you can see it in the most, because it looks like Hemsworth is trying not to break when, like, the Hulk is saying some of those things. And I feel like maybe that's going to be some of the vibe of the movie is going to, like, I'm hoping he keeps it tight in the editing, but that like some of it's going to have that kind of like, okay, we have our characters and we're just going to try and bounce some lines off each other.
Yeah.
And I just hope that's handled well.
I hope so too. Well, it's, you can do that and get out good quality.
Oh yeah.
Inspiration totally. Out of that stuff.
That's, and then edit it scene, properly. And yeah.
What don't makes Apatow me not worry it. Is, well, fucking Apatow doesn't know how to make a good movie. If there's good Apatow movies, it's in spite of him. But if you just watch, I keep wanting to call it Attack of the Wilder People.
Yeah.
Hunt for the Wilder People. That's got a lot of that in it. It's got a lot of just really funny people being really funny.
Yeah.
But the story is fantastic.
Totally. Yeah. And Kelsey is saying that she's intrigued by the fact that it seems like Hulk is more verbose and in control of his rage.
Yeah.
But that Banner doesn't really remember what happens when he's Hulk.
Right. Yeah. Well, I think that's because they still maybe fundamentally don't understand the character they're using. Yeah. You know, what are you going to do? Baby steps here.
Yeah.
Like, then they're going to get into the whole thing of like the duality of the fight inside the mind between Banner and Hulk. And
yeah,
there's some very, very good issues with that. But I don't think that they're ever going to try and tackle that on screen. So,
yeah.
But they should. It'd be great.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah, no,
I'm
listen.
I'm really
this,
looking forward
this
to this.
This looks so fun.
Yeah.
So fun. Dynamite. Can't wait.
Yep. Yeah.
Can't wait.
Yeah. Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Well, can you wait for the new DC film? The new Justice League?
Yeah, I certainly can wait. I'm like, more Wonder Woman, Dynamite.
Yeah.
Then all this other stuff happens. I'm like,
okay.
All right, then.
Yeah.
Then what, his shoulders look so funny. Flash? Does it look like he's got some, like... Something's wrong in the costume design.
Yeah,
there.
Like,
I can't stop looking at these weird circular shoulders.
For me, it's not his shoulders so much as it is his hammy bullshit performance. every line he says, I'm like, I hate this guy.
I my thing about
Jimmy Fallon is the Flash.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He loves everything.
Yeah. And then Aquaman does a Legolas kind of like, woo, flippity-doo action. Mm-hmm. Ta-da!
Yeah.
Look, it's fucking, and spoilers for this trailer.
Yeah.
It's fucking dope when he flies through the roof of that building and then comes out the door.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
But I thought that was totally... Remember in the Lord of the Rings movie? Maybe you don't, but in the Lord of the Rings movies, they kept on... Like, they'd have some, like, fancy, crazy... Legolas,
he would always do a jumping up on the
tail.
Yeah,
and he's like surfing down this fucking monster, and he's like, shabam!
Yeah.
You know, it reminded me of that, with his little hair flip at the end.
I just can't get... the DC aesthetic... Now, for Wonder Woman, I felt like it worked, and they managed to get some brightness and stuff in there.
Totally.
Not only that it's just gray, but when I look at this picture that we have up of the team from the movie, all it makes me think of is, like the suits and the muscles on the suits and the highlights on the suits.
Mm-hmm.
It just looks like Rob Liefeld overkill style. Like,
this is
every muscle is gonna glisten.
Yeah,
every
this is definitely the shiniest superhero world.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, everything is very shimmery. Yeah.
Like, it just feels like they've nudged it too far. Into like J.J. Abrams lens flare / everybody's gonna have this like glistening
and it just the composition all of it just and we're looking at a picture of them standing there heroically it, the composition of it is just ugly.
Yeah, yeah. It's just... pretty gross. And also Cyborg looks fucking stupid. Like, what fucking 1994 made for $35,000 starring Mario Van Peebles. Does he fucking come
Solo?
From?
Solo.
Yeah.
Solo. That's the one. There it is. Oh, is he playing Solo?
He's Solo.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, it's like the trailer looks fine.
Yeah, well, because they throw Wonder Woman at you right away. So you're like, yeah? Oh. Your friends came.
Yeah. It just looks like, I don't know what we're going to get
everything
here.
Everything about it. Like, I think this Batman looks all right. This Superman, I'm not that cool with, but whatever.
Drew says, what up, YouTube?
Does he know that we're not all of
we're
YouTube?
Not of YouTube?
Are we not YouTube?
No. We're on YouTube.
It's a bummer.
Yeah.
But it just, everything looks... Like, the look of the characters in the Marvel Universe make me excited about superheroes.
Yeah.
These ones just make me want to get them a towel.
Yeah.
They all look very wet.
Yeah, I think this trailer looks like it's not going to be what
it's
they
gonna
need
to be.
It's
going to be the same big dumb fucking mess.
Yeah.
And it's going to have a couple of Joss Whedon jokes thrown in there.
Yeah.
Just so you know he's involved.
Right.
So you can rest assured, but
yeah.
That's not going to do fuck all for this.
Yeah.
Nah, they fucked up.
DC fucked
you
up.
Fucked it up.
Yeah.
I don't know. I
fuck
I,
you for
I could just
to
hope that it's
me.
A little bit better than Batman Loves Superman, but
here's hoping.
Yeah.
I think it'll be a little bit better.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
It feels like it was too far along by the time that Batman v Superman failed and then Suicide Squad was like, oh shit, people really like that fun trailer, let's try and spice it up.
Yeah.
I feel like even this project was far enough along at that point that it was like anything from here on out is going to be a course correction.
You are absolutely right, Kelsey.
Yeah.
Without the red little underwears.
Yeah,
it looks weird.
Super weird. Like he didn't finish getting dressed.
Yeah. Like he forgot his little panties.
Yeah.
Put on your panties, Superman. You got to go save the guys.
Well, Justice League trailer, I'm not so sure about. But Greg.
Yeah, what?
You had something that you watched.
I did.
That I feel like nobody was so sure about.
Well.
And you've put it on the docket.
I did.
It's time to talk about The Mummy.
I watched The Mummy, too.
The Mummy.
Casey saw The Mummy, and I just needed some big, dumb Hollywood.
Yeah.
I was really in the mood for it.
Yeah.
And so I watched The Big Dumb Mummy.
Yeah.
And
that was the alternate title.
And holy fuck is this movie boring.
It's crazy how bad
wow!
it is.
Holy balls.
That said, I liked parts of it.
There were things where I was like, well, if you you kept on like starting to get your interest and then it would go somewhere else. And there's like things that were kind of starting to worry. The beginning was... I was like, yeah, Mummy, I get it.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck me, all right.
Man, did I ever fucking hate the relationship between Jake Johnson and Tom Cruise.
Yeah, I know.
It was so uncomfortable.
I know. It's like Tom Cruise knew it, and spoiler alert, and he just had to shoot him.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to get you out of this movie, buddy. There's only one way.
One of us has to die, and it's not going to be Tom Cruise.
It's not going to be Cruise.
But Jesus Christ, it was like... every line that they had might as well have been, we're friends, right?
Yeah.
We are friends. We're just friending around. We're just palling about.
And it felt like they wanted, or Tom Cruise wanted, like, oh, well, you know, it didn't do crazy money, but everyone really liked Edge of Tomorrow.
Yeah.
And it's like there's a kind of fun, jokey element to it that really worked.
Yeah.
And he also starts as kind of a dick. And they're like, let's do that again. But right. Let's not be funny and have him be a dick for the whole movie.
Yeah. How about he's just a piece of shit, then he's a mummy.
Oh, man. There's so many wrong turns here.
What did you think of the hilariously clunky world building?
Oh, the walkthrough?
The one scene where they were like, guess what we're gonna do?
Make more movies.
Yeah, it was like, oh, there's all the stuff you already told us about.
Yeah.
But this time in jars.
Yeah. This time with all the excitement of... jars.
How do they do it?
And literally, it is a scene where they're like, we're going to walk through, and here's this thing, there's that thing, this is going to be a movie, that's going to be a movie. Anyway, on to the rest of this piece of shit.
Drew says, bring back Brendan.
Yeah.
I agree.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need no Cruise. Give me that Brendan Fraser action.
Yep.
Jesus. Never has that sentence been said.
Yeah. Well, it's so weird that Tom Cruise is in this.
I know.
And I can't imagine that this is how it was going to go down, but he must have read the title and went, do I get to be the mummy?
Yeah.
Yeah, and nobody could say no. Everyone was terrified.
Yes. You want to be the mummy?
What did you think? You remember how in the end there, and I spoiled this before, so I'm going to spoil it again.
Yeah. Yeah.
What did you think of how he brings her back to life? Do you remember how he just gets in her face, yells at her to be alive?
Yeah, well, I feel like all movies of the last 10 years, all action movies, have to end with someone screaming at the problem until it changes.
Yeah.
You know? All the superhero movies are like a blue light goes off and someone goes, ah, until it's over.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Tom Cruise is like, I don't know why it worked.
There's no science behind anything. But and not just science.
Well, they
science.
Set his character up for that, where they're in the tomb in the beginning, and he sees all the pulleys and the ropes, and clearly they're attached to something.
And then
he just shoots the rope and sets everything loose, and that causes the mummy problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Because he's just like, this. I don't know. So, yeah, you scream at a lady until she's alive again.
Yeah.
And there's your world-building franchise maker.
Yeah.
I hope a lot of doctors watch this movie and go, oh, that's what we've been doing.
Oh, right. Why
hey, cancer!
Why haven't we been screaming at more patients?
I
long for the days of the original Mummy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a fine Sunday afternoon picture.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not bothering with this one.
Did it make money overseas? Are they going forward with this?
I think they're so invested in the Dark universe that they have to try.
They already cast everybody.
They already cast everybody in that Justice League movie that we didn't get with George Miller was going to do.
How fucking great would that have been?
I just long for it. No one would care if you just stopped.
Yeah, if you just
got fired,
no
everyone,
fans.
And just keep Gal Gadot and Wonder Woman and then go fucking make that fucking crazy George Miller.
Get rid of everybody else.
Everybody else. Gone.
Keep Gal Gadot. Get rid of everybody else.
Yep. Kelsey said it made a lot of money overseas.
Did it? Okay.
And Maria asks why you hate Sundays.
I like a good crumb.
Steven Summers makes good Sunday movies.
Sure.
I'm watching. It's Sunday.
Like Twister. Twister's a great Sunday afternoon
movie. It's Sunday. I'm watching Deep Rising.
It's Tom Cruise's highest grossing movie.
What?
That's weird.
That's
really
awesome.
Yeah.
That's, well, then fine. What the fuck do we know?
I know.
Carry on, Mummy Cruise.
Go for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mummy Cruise.
Will he be Mummy Man in the, like, is he the
Mummy
going forward? Is he going to turn up and scream at everyone?
Yeah, well, hey, Dracula, get some long teeth.
Who wants to race me?
Yeah. Frankenstein, zip up that hoodie.
You keep looking fly.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. It's fucking awesome.
Something.
Greg,
what?
You also wanted to talk about something else.
Did I?
Yes. You wanted to talk about the television show,
right.
Big Little Lies.
Big Little Lies.
Yeah.
This was a television show that I watched the entirety of and absolutely fucking loved.
Yeah. I've seen one episode of, and I really need reassurance that it gets better.
Oh, you didn't like it?
No.
Oh, man. I've seen half of the season of the series, and I loved it, but it was just one of those situations where not by virtue of the quality of the show, but just that I started watching other things, and it fell behind in my mind.
Right.
But I was, by the halfway point, I was really into it.
Yeah. Like, I guess I really was not down with the first half of the episode, and I was less hard on it later, but it felt like a lot of... It felt like a lot of stuff I'd seen before. And a lot of a performance style that I don't always really like watching. And it's like a fan. Like, I know that we're doing like a little bit of a heightened reality, but they don't hang on to that. And I hate when they won't commit to being like setting the tone. This is your world tone, and not rolling with it. I felt like the first episode dipped in and out of that, and it kind of.
Oh, I don't feel like it did that at all.
Yeah, well, maybe it doesn't throughout the series, but episode one anyway. And I know that episode one is the hardest one to make
always.
Perfect,
yeah.
You know,
I'm trying to remember what I thought of episode one, because now that I have it in context with the rest of it, it's.
I know what you mean.
Yeah, I fucking love the show. Uh-huh. I feel like I liked it right away.
I'll try more, but yeah.
You should try more.
I didn't like hate it.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to watch another one.
I know what you mean about
I got other things to.
But I also have a feeling like if you didn't like the first one, like I feel like that tone is pretty
I would say try another one.
Yeah.
And see, and then if it doesn't start to grab you, but like, oh, I want to see this through, then I wouldn't. Yeah. But I did think that I know what you mean about like some of these things you've seen before, or even just like Reese Witherspoon. Like, I thought she was great in it, but I also felt like it's a character that you've maybe seen her do this kind of thing before, but maybe not to this extent.
Yeah.
But I thought the performances were amazing. Mm-hmm. I need to circle back and finish it.
Yeah.
Because I want closure now.
Every single performance is better than the next. Yeah. And they're all fucking. Like, it's a crazy masterclass of how good acting can be.
Yeah, I want closure on the story, too, now that I'm, like, halfway in being like, okay.
No, I'll keep going. And I just might have been in the wrong mood for it. Maybe I wanted a different show. I just finished a whole shit ton of shows in a short succession that I've been working my way through for a while, like Better Call Saul and fucking Westworld and Handmaids and, like, all this, you know, shit that I was really, really into. And then, I don't know, maybe I just wasn't ready for a new relationship.
Yeah. I really didn't like the setup of, like, we're going to have people being interviewed and stuff.
Yeah,
and
I did not like that at all.
And Casey, when we talked, you were kind of like, no, but where it goes with that, I liked. And
well, the thing is, within the craft of the entire thing,
hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
It always feels a little bit tacked on, but you can really tell what the point of it is, and the point of it is very necessary. And in the book, I think probably it works a lot more seamlessly. But it really does feel like those scenes feel a little bit tacked on. But then the point of them is that they live within this microcosm of judgment and you know, everybody's perception of a perfect family and of a perfect home life.
Yeah.
And so it gets that point across quite well. But those scenes are always a little bit like, this feels weird.
Yeah.
But it never bothered me because I understood the overall intention of it and how important
it is. Oh, we just
didn't
understand it.
The thing is, I understood
essentially, I understood it.
You know, I would say watch it again. This time, try to pretend you're me. Because then you'll fucking get a brain in your shitty head.
Hey, here's my cap. It's a thinking cap. Maybe wear it next
try
time.
It on. Might be a little big for you. Try understanding it, you fucking dunces.
Oh, man. Big Little Lies.
Yeah.
Check it out if you haven't seen it. Or not.
Well, I'll check out some more.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's it, I think, right?
Yeah, I've been watching fuck all.
Did you watch The Monkees, Dan?
I did watch
Dan,
The Monkees.
Dan, did you go see The Monkees?
I saw The Monkees.
Yeah.
Dan, did you see
Hey, we're The Monkees.
You love those Monkees.
I love them. Yeah. And as I said on the show, I saw I saw War for the Planet of the Apes, and I said recently on the show that maybe I'm just in the pocket for these movies because I loved both of the other ones.
You're in the pocket of Big Monkey?
Yeah, I'm in the pocket of Big Monkey. I thought the first two were great. I think we're looking back on them and revisiting them both. For me, it's really solidified as being this really interesting franchise trilogy, and I really like where they started. I know some people didn't like the second one as much, and I was talking to some people. I was talking to Max Price, and he was kind of saying, "Oh, the first one was such an interesting kind of like science fiction kind of interesting movie, and the second one kind of tweaked it towards a little bit more of a dark, dull kind of thing." Whereas I felt like it was such a great place to go after the first movie. Mm-hmm. And I loved it. Maria on screen right now is saying, why'd they call it war? And
also said there weren't no fighting.
She's
totally right. There was very little war.
And
in this
totally
movie.
Understand that. And I think if somebody leaves that movie disappointed, like that wasn't a war.
The quiet reflection of the planet of the apes.
Yeah.
Sad monkey and the mean fella.
But I fucking loved it. I thought it was such a great finale. I loved that it was at once like a Western, a revenge. It was a escape movie. It was a biblical epic at like moments. I thought the transition through all these different types of movies were fascinating and amazing. I never checked my watch. I was in it the whole time. I will say some of the opening of the movie, there was a few things like dialogue and like expository dialogue wise where I was like, this lands a little bit with a clunk here just to like get us the engine started. But once it went going, I thought it was great. And I thought here's a blockbuster movie where like 70-80% of this movie is either subtitles or sign language or and I always knew the characters, their intention, what they wanted, who they didn't like.
Oh, so we didn't understand.
So you didn't understand.
The monkeys.
So here's a fucking thinking cap. Oh. Put that shit on. No, but like a movie.
We don't understand monkey movie.
Yeah. I don't think you understand it.
How come those monkeys are being so subtle?
Yeah. But like for a movie to be able to sell that to me, I felt like I'm impressed by this movie's like ability to have me on that page with the movie. I thought it was great.
I didn't think it was bad.
Yeah.
I just was like, all right, monkey movie.
I didn't think it was bad. I just thought it wasn't very much fun or interesting.
Oh, man. I loved it. Yeah. I liked Bad Monkey was so good.
Yeah. Steve Zahn was very good. And
the effects are
crazy. On his character in particular
were
outrageous.
Yeah.
Outrageous.
Were totally outrageous.
Bad Monkey was good. That's the twist.
Yeah.
Oh, there were some speaking parts for women, but not very many, no.
No.
David is saying.
Yeah.
Yes.
Also not in...
No, or not much sign language for women in this movie either.
Yeah.
Or women.
There was a few.
Trying to
Judy Greer was in there. There was a few. This is totally a stretch, but there's a lot of women soldiers that are not specifically given like dialogue, but do say things in unison with everybody else.
Right.
But I agree.
On a technicality, it's a feminist epic.
I agree that there's definitely not much representation in that film.
No.
But I can criticize the film for that and also love it.
Oh, for sure.
So,
absolutely.
Same thing with Baby Driver.
Yeah.
Same thing with Boss Baby.
Yeah. So it's
I don't know. I said a thing that sounded like another thing.
Yeah.
Well, now it's time to get to Film Roulette.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Go.
Film Roulette. Let's go. Film Roulette is our weekly segment where the three of us roll a die and the two high rollers get to go see something good, something that we've been excited about. And the low roller has to go see something terrible. This week, the low roll was a war film, Iron Eagle 4, versus a winner's choice, because we were thinking about Dunkirk, thinking about Valerian. Thinking about anything else in theaters. So it was a winner's choice week. So we did that. We will talk about those two movies, and we will also talk about an album, because the low roller gets to give the winners an album to listen to for the rest of the week. So this week it was winner's choice. Casey, you were one of the winners.
I remember.
I was one of the winners.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you want to get down with this?
How do you want to get down with this?
I know what I saw.
Yeah.
Are you going to be able to jump in on this, or should I just go for it?
Just go for it.
Okay. I saw Dunkirk.
Okay.
As you can tell by looking on the screen. Segueing from that previous conversation, also a film with not many speaking roles for women, mm-hmm. as well as not many roles in a place where it has been documented that women were in mm-hmm. the war.
Mm-hmm.
So to get that out of the way. But Dunkirk is the new film from Christopher Nolan. It is the big talk right now in the movie world. Am I right or am I right?
You're right.
Yeah.
Everyone's
talking about it.
Talking about how you should be seeing it, and more, whether you're seeing it in 70 millimeters or not.
Mm-hmm.
The event that shaped our world, miraculous evacuation of Allied soldiers from Belgium, Britain, Canada, and France, who were cut off and surrounded by the German army from the beaches and the harbor of Dunkirk, France, between May 26th and June 4th, 1940, during the Battle of France in World War II, starring a number of people, James Darcy, Harry Styles, 1D, Jack yeah. Lowden, Fionn Whitehead, lots and lots. So I didn't see this in 70 millimeter. I'll get that out there right now. No,
how
I didn't
many
see this in
millimeters
IMAX.
Of this movie?
No idea. a number of millimeters.
Uh-huh.
And this is the, as I mentioned, this is the hot ticket right now. I feel like everyone has to have the opinion. Everyone's throwing out masterpieces. Everyone is talking about Dunkirk. Mm-hmm. And I will say this about Dunkirk. It is very good. Now, I liked it quite a bit.
Yeah.
And I feel like in the world that we live in right now, that is a negative review, basically.
Yeah.
Because
every movie is so good.
Every movie has to either be a masterpiece or a fucking piece of shit.
Yeah.
And I really feel like this movie, for me, landed in the, like, I really admired it, but it was always something that I was admiring and enjoying, and never something that like that I was fully in emotionally.
Right.
I felt like this is...
Sounds like a Christopher Nolan movie.
100%. But mm-hmm. it also sounds like a Christopher Nolan movie that is hot off the heels of one that maybe got a lot of flack for... Like when Interstellar came out, a lot of the kind of discussion around that was like, either it's brilliant or it's dumb and the ending is stupid. And I feel like with Interstellar, Christopher Nolan saw a lot of pushback on maybe what was working before in something like Inception. It was like, oh, I'm going to do Inception again and this kind of a sci-fi thing again. I'll take it a step further. And people were like, some people were like, hey, this is kind of dumb. Like, do you guys think that or no?
Well,
because I felt like Interstellar is a good movie, but I was just kind of kind of getting tired of his shtick.
I don't think it's dumb necessarily. I think it's a fine
Interstellar
story or whatever.
I think there's some silly stuff.
Just,
in
I
it.
Think it's just. I don't think it's a very well told story.
No, this is the problem. Because
yeah.
I saw it, and I remember like the big scenes.
Yeah,
or the famous scenes, mostly because I also see memes.
yeah.
So yeah, I like it. Just didn't. It didn't have an impact, and that movie tried very hard to be emotional.
Yeah.
And it just didn't. Interstellar blue
says
Maria.
Yeah.
You're not wrong. And there were scenes in it I liked, and then there was a bunch of shit that I don't fucking remember because it didn't really have any lasting appeal. And the emotion in it maybe seemed. You know that clip where the thing went viral years ago where the guy didn't know how to cry. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's very much what Christopher Nolan movies feel like.
Yeah.
They feel like they're made by somebody who has seen emotions in front of him, but never inside of him.
Yeah,
but
no, I
mean, things have worked
that.
In subtle ways for him. I quite love Inception. I think that's
a
terrific
Inception
movie,
as well.
And it has some nice emotional notes in it, as does Memento.
Yes. But I felt like Interstellar was... Yeah, I'm trying to get this chat to show up properly on the screen. Sorry, everybody. But yeah, I feel like it was...
I can't read that, Dan. What does that fucking say?
It says, I liked it, those little square robots and crazy Matt Damon.
I like the square robots.
I loved the square robots. And I loved... the Matt Damon hanging out in space.
Yeah, hanging
so,
with Damon.
There's that.
What?
I enjoyed stuff about it.
Stop playing with the damn thing.
I enjoyed stuff about it. Yeah. But I just felt like... I feel like this movie, although it has... Dunkirk is something that he has been trying to do for a long time.
Yeah.
But I do feel like... go watch The Martian, says Maria. Seen The Martian, it's great.
I will watch it again.
Yes, I'll watch it again.
Terrific fucking movie.
I feel like Dunkirk is... okay, like, he's been trying to make Dunkirk for a long time. As far as I know, it's a passion project. But I do feel like there is an element of, okay, well, last time, you know, I really, really shot for the moon in terms of the story and having so many working parts in the story. And this time I'm going to come out with this passion project. It's a war film, and I'm going to come at it really hard on the technical.
Yeah.
I'm going to come at it, and it's going to be super beautiful. It's going to be gorgeous. 70 millimeter, it's going to IMAX, we're going to shoot a ton of it in like amazing, the aerial photography in Dunkirk is fucking amazing. Like, it's unbelievable.
True.
Like, some of this movie is so stunning.
Yeah.
But I never was once not just sitting there thinking like, this film is stunning and I'm looking at a stunning film that has been meticulously made and I'm watching it being put together and it's all really, really great and stunning and I'm not really feeling it on an emotional level outside of suspense. Like, it's very tense. There's a lot of suspension and there's a lot of like really intense moments, but it's things like there's a shot in the trailer where the guy's lying on the ground and there's these explosions that are coming like closer and closer to him, and instead of being like, oh my god, please don't die, I'm thinking,
blow him up.
No not like but I'm thinking like, oh no, I hope he gets away. Okay, cool, he did. It's not like, oh, I'm gonna be really upset if any of these characters die. It's more just like, I hope they get out of this. Oh, they didn't. Dang. Yeah. Oh, they did. Yes. It's not. I never once felt pulled into the story of these people.
Yeah.
I just felt like this is a movie that extremely, extremely well puts the experience on screen.
Is it? Are we just done making World War II movies? Is this the problem here too?
Well, my good friend.
Is there any way of like doing this and having it be effective anymore?
Well, I think people love this movie, so I feel like I'm the only one really that.
I think you're right. I think how you feel about it is kind of more how people are feeling about it. I haven't talked to anyone who's seen it who is like, wow,
yeah,
like, fucking holy, did you know about this war?
This was happening.
It looks very nice, and the performances are good and stuff like that. And it's just like, yeah, it's a very good, very nice movie.
Yeah,
and I think it'll just be a forgotten, really expensive movie. I don't know. I feel like we've just examined this war from many angles over and over and over again, and it's, you know, maybe audiences are not going to connect with it anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can understand that. I just feel like, for me, this movie didn't land on the emotional thing. Now, everybody in this movie is fantastic, and they all put in great performances. It just doesn't translate over to it being... an emotional experience. Now, I will say, I watched this piece of news today from Calgary where somebody who was in Dunkirk went and saw the movie. He's like 97 years old.
Oh, yes.
And it was so tug on your heartstrings. I basically almost started to cry in my office where he was describing the experience of watching this movie and that it was like seeing people that he knew come back to life. And I think that this movie does...
an amazing job of making you feel like the tension of the scene and the like experience of the war on a physical level. And I think that you cannot deny the craft in that. It just, I never felt the emotion of any of it.
Yeah.
I just felt very like, this is very intense. Oh my God. Yeah. I hope they get out of it. It was never like, yeah, it was never really an emotional story. And I feel like for me, that's a huge flaw in the film.
Right.
But for a lot of people that I've seen, it's not. So I don't know. That's me.
Yeah.
I think it's definitely an experience you should see on the big screen.
Yeah.
And I think it's definitely one to see. It's like an amazing piece of filmmaking.
Yeah, yeah.
The stuff with Tom Hardy in the air is amazing. I felt like that for me, the dogfighting and the whole side of the story of them flying around was so fascinating and so well executed. Not that
Tom
the other stuff
Hardy
wasn't.
Tom Hardy fights a dog in the air.
He fights a dog in the air. It's
oh
crazy.
God.
Yeah, you got to see it.
I had no idea that happened in the world.
And Kenneth Branagh's good. Maria was asking on screen about that. Everyone's good.
Yeah.
And I love Kenneth Branagh. Yeah, yeah. So, yeah. Dunkirk for me is a definite recommendation for a film experience in the cinemas.
Yeah.
But as a piece of emotional storytelling, I didn't. And again, maybe. Maybe that's not what he wanted to do. Maybe he just was trying to replicate on a technical fashion what
human emotions are.
What it's like to experience that horror. But yeah, I didn't think it was great.
Yeah.
Maria is saying that Kenneth Branagh is never good, and I disagree.
Mm-hmm. You never seen Dead Again?
Yeah. Mm. Dead Again is so good. Anyway.
Anyway.
Speaking of...
I feel like you didn't see this movie, Casey.
Oh, no, I saw it.
I disagree, Dan.
And now for my part.
Yeah.
No, what I saw on this Winner's Choice evening was I had to sort of do a family situation.
Yeah.
So I saw Despicable Me 3.
Oh.
Yeah. That's what I saw.
Have you seen the other ones?
Despicable Me 3. I think I saw part of Despicable Me 1.
Yeah.
And then I saw part of the Minions movie before I fell asleep.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's probably about it for me in terms of those.
Yeah.
So I went ahead and saw this. And the reason I wanted to see this was because I was just absolutely mystified by the fact that for his first foray into somebody else's filmmaking, or well, not his first because of basketball, but... I was just mystified why Trey Parker decided to make this.
I'm sorry, what? Trey Parker made this movie?
No, he's in
no,
it.
No. He's just in
he's,
it.
Oh, he's
why
in
he
this.
Made this his sort of children's movie debut.
Weird.
Yeah, so I was very interested in that as a thing.
Yeah.
And
is he a major character?
Yes,
he's this
that
guy
character.
That's on screen
he's
right now.
He's the
villain.
Oh.
Yeah. He's a sort of 80s themed villain. He's a character who he was a child star in the 80s. And then he sort of outgrew his charm and Hollywood kind of kicked him out.
Right.
And he I'll get there, Maria. I will.
Yeah. Yeah.
He takes his revenge on the world, or his hatred of Hollywood he takes out on the world by becoming a supervillain.
Yeah.
And listen, Trey Parker is an extremely important person in my life.
Yes. Absolutely.
From the very beginning of South Park and everything he's done. Cannibal the Musical, as Maria mentioned on screen. Even Basketball.
Basketball is... woefully underappreciated.
So funny.
It is fucking...
I love it.
It's not the greatest movie.
I don't give a fuck.
But
it's hilarious.
Fucking hilarious.
Yeah. And gets by, just on their chemistry alone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Team and America gets
so good.
So
Team
good.
America. Like,
South
Trey
Park
Parker,
the movie? Fuck off. So good.
Trey Parker is one of the most important comedic minds, I think, of our generation.
Absolutely.
And maybe of any generation, because... it's such a now, and Matt Stone has said this too. He's like, everything that we do is because Trey Parker is a genius.
Uh-huh.
And I think that it's such a singular vision.
Yeah.
And South Park has been, 23 years now.
Yeah,
23 years. And if you, I watched the last season.
Go ahead and drop in at any point.
It's still
quality.
it's still as good, if not better.
Yep.
And it's crazy because, and he has said, he's like, it's because we don't give over to committee thinking. Mm-hmm. It's still Matt Stone and Trey Parker making that show.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, not just his comedic mind, which is absolutely fucking brilliant, but his intention. Mm-hmm. Like, he didn't care about becoming big and rich and famous. He just wanted to make something cool for 20 some odd years and fucking did.
Yeah.
And it's fucking amazing. Which is why this is so bizarre.
Mm.
Because he is, I don't know what he's doing in this movie. This movie is as charming as these movies are,
sure,
which is to say somewhat.
Yeah.
They do their funny little things and their cute little things, and the little minion guys are pretty cute or whatever. But Trey Parker seems devoid of something, or seems to be missing something.
That sucks, because when I saw the trailers for Despicable Me 3, I was kind of like, okay, this isn't for me. I think I saw the Minions movie, and I was like pretty light on it. This is as charming as this movie probably was going to be. But when I saw the trailer for this, and I saw, okay, Trey Parker's in it, and he's doing this kind of 80s thing, and that's probably not going to be amazing, but maybe there's going to be something funny to mine from this as a villain, and I kind of thought there would be some fun to it.
That's the thing, is that he doesn't really do anything. Like, his voice work is fantastic, and his couple that with his delivery, which is...
Is it Delicio?
It's not Delicio. It's not delivery. it's not pizza at all, really. It's saying
okay,
words.
It's a performance.
It's always fucking dead on and perfect timing, and there's none of it here. It's just, it's not that he's not trying. He's doing, you know, there's enthusiasm to it, but it's just, none of it is interesting. It's really a bummer.
That sucks.
It's really a weird bummer.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. See this movie if you got kids, I guess.
Yeah.
But don't expect anything out of Trey Parker. And at the end, there's like a theme song that's got kind of an 80s vibe to it. Pharrell Williams did all the music for this.
Yeah.
And there's a song that I don't know if he co-wrote it or if Trey Parker just performs it, but it's called Hug Me or something like that. And it's...
That sounds...
It's really weird. It's really off-putting and weird. I don't know what the intention behind it was. But yeah, the whole thing is just... perplexing.
Weird.
Yeah. Great.
Yeah.
Oh.
All right. Well, Despicable Me 3.
Steve Carell is fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll
see it someday. I have a child.
Or so. Don't.
I saw the Minions movie because I have a child.
Yeah. And it's like...
She didn't want to see it, but I'm just put it on for her.
Yeah, why not?
And you don't have to... All it is yellow doing things. And so that worked for her. She
liked it. Yellow. Yellow has a high voice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. Fun. Okay, segueing from Despicable Me 3 straight into something that may or may not be despicable.
Right.
We will have to figure this out. Iron Eagle 4?
4.
Question mark?
1995?
Question mark?
Lou Gossett Jr.?
All right, 1995.
Yeah.
Directed by Sidney J. Fury, a name that I recognize from the types of movies that I watch.
Oh, yeah.
Iron Eagle 4, while Chappie Sinclair is saddled with a bunch of misfits and delinquents for his flight school, he turns to protege Doug Masters to assist him in rounding them into shape for an important competition.
Rounding them into shape?
A competition?
Yeah.
During their training, they stumble upon a group of subversive Air Force officers who are dealing in toxic waste as a sideline.
Yeah.
This, everything about this plot, A, makes me want to watch the movie.
Yeah.
And B, seems like this series took a turn into, like, now it's an 80s kids movie where, like, it's like toy soldiers and the kids are fighting back.
Right.
And also there's toxic waste.
Yeah. Because it's the 90s now.
Yeah. Now you look at that poster. Bring me that poster back.
Okay.
Bring me that poster.
Bring me that poster. Yes, back. It's got Iron Eagle on the attack.
Gossett
it's got
Jr.
these two jets flying in the air. There's this other jet on the ground that's farting an explosion out.
Yes.
And Louis Gossett Jr. is like, yeah, I can't fart explosions.
It's got Gossett Jr. may have shit out that jet.
Yeah, it's got a Trimark logo and a PG-13 rating. Yeah.
So, you know, with this dumb premise and the no budget and jets and stuff, you think, all right, let's do it. I saw this movie a few days ago, and I probably should have read the Wikipedia page on my way here because it is fucking just leaving me. As it is insanely boring.
Yeah.
So the guy, he's got Chappie. He has a school where they teach, I don't know, criminal children to fly planes. And
that seems like a good idea.
Yeah, it's a money maker. $1 million. It's a great idea. And he needs help, though. And I didn't realize what he does is he goes to get the kid from the first movie, Doug Masters.
Okay.
Who, I can't remember the actor's name, but I'll always think of him as...
Jason Gedrick.
Proby Tim from Backdraft.
Sweet.
Yeah. Check that heat, the door for heat, Tim? No, he didn't. Tim gets all burnt up. But they couldn't get Jason Gedrick. So they got some other... a Canadian fella, because this movie was made in Oshawa.
Oh, I see that.
Ontario.
Made in Oshawa.
Yeah.
What's his name is in this, right? The weatherman. He's the weatherman now. Russ Hull.
Russ Hull. Yes. He's not. No, he wasn't the...
He's a weatherman now.
I don't care.
You know Russ Hull.
That is... Famously, though, you've never cared about who is and who isn't a weatherman.
Oh, that guy, right.
He was in Are You Afraid of the Dark, Student Bodies.
Uh-huh.
It's just so weird to me that now you turn the TV on and it's like, hey, the guy from the Midnight Society is telling you whether it's going to rain or not.
Yeah. And I don't believe him.
Coffee break.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so they couldn't get the original guy.
So they get some other guy.
Okay.
And he goes, and there's the misfit kids, and they kind of run through all of them, and there's, like, the tough girl, and there's the, I don't know, there's a list of people.
Okay.
And they're flying, and they're crazy, and you can't control them, but they're not flying cool jets. See, now this picture, you see that yellow propeller plane behind him there? They got some of those, I guess, because one of the producers maybe owned them. I don't know. His movie looks like garbage. It looks like a shitty mid-90s television show.
Okay.
The acting is terrible. Louis Gossett Jr. is really weird in it. He's doing like a kind of goofy play-around thing, which I don't really remember him being that guy in the first movie. I thought he was quite stern. And there's like some montages that don't flow right at all. And then there's one scene where it's like really bizarre where he comes into the room where they've been... they're getting schooled or something, and he comes in. They have a jukebox, and he turns on the jukebox and does this weird little
dance. Boy.
And the song, they don't have any licensing for any real music, so the song that comes on the jukebox is just like a random saxophone jam. here's your little trailer.
I got a trailer for Greg while we're talking about it.
Everything about this movie is a bunch of shit. It looks like garbage. It's not interesting.
It's funny because that director that I mentioned, I recognize the name, is actually the director of the first one.
Yeah. Is he?
Yeah.
Well... I don't know. More money in the first one. Well, real jets. Some jets. There's a picture of a jet.
There's jets in the trailer.
There's this lying trailer. There's just a jet fight at the end that's very uneventful. And then, like, the big bad guy that's got the toxic waste that they're so afraid of and got to have a showdown with is Al Waxman.
Oh, boy.
The King of Kensington.
Yeah. The terrifying Al Waxman.
Yeah.
Which is very distracting.
Yeah.
They got this the young lady, Rachel Blatchford something. She played Martin Freeman's wife in Fargo season one.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
And when she was young, she looks remarkably like Rachel Keller, who is on Legion now and is also in Fargo season two. It's weird how much they look alike.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, particularly when she's young. When you're watching her in Iron Eagle 4, it's like, oh, wow, it looks like Legion. anyway,
That was the most interesting thing about the whole movie. And I missed a couple scenes because I was looking at their IMDb's, the two. And I'm like, look at how much they look alike. Also, well, I watched this movie on YouTube, which was the only place I could find it. And because I wasn't going to try very hard, and I wasn't going to pay for it.
Yeah.
I watched it on YouTube, and it was one of those YouTube movies where the movie does not take up the whole screen. It takes up about 60%.
That's terrible.
Which I can live with, but I don't know. If you're a YouTube pirate movie person and you're doing this, whatever the negative space is that isn't the movie, do not have moving objects.
Yeah, that seems like a bad idea.
Really distracting and disorienting. And it was these stars that were spinning in a fucking circle. Yeah. And it was really distracting and dizzying.
Well,
and
you know. If they didn't do that, you wouldn't be able to watch it.
Yeah.
But why does it all have to move?
I think it's a distraction technique because if the stuff that if the only thing moving is the video, there's algorithms that can find
video. Maybe some like slow dimming and like some lights that are giving me a little bit of a mellow massage.
Sir, you wanted to do what?
You want Iron Eagle 4 to give you a mellow massage?
Yeah. Louis Gossett Jr. is going to set me straight.
Well, I'm glad.
You know why I didn't like this movie? Lou Gossett Jr. didn't massage
Not even a little bit. Yeah, this movie sucked.
Okay, good. Yeah. Well, it sounded like
super boring,
but.
Yeah. No, no fun. This is not this is not fun dumb.
Yeah.
Can't not believe Iron
fun,
Eagle 4 wasn't
dumb.
Good.
No.
You heard it here first.
Yeah.
Iron Eagle 4, not fun, dumb. Should I watch the original Iron Eagle?
Maybe.
Because I've never seen it.
Yes. Probably not. Watch it and tell me. If
Casey's like, no. Greg's like, yeah.
I don't know. I feel like it's not. Well, I don't know. Because it could be like the really low rent.
They made four of them.
I don't know. The kid's got to go save his dad from the Russians. So he's going to take a plane.
Okay. Take a plane.
Gotcha.
Woo! Iron Eagle, what do you think? Let us know.
Yeah.
Well, that's it for Film Roulette in the film section of Film Roulette. So, Dunkirk, looking good.
Yep.
Not emotional.
No.
Despicable Me 3, not so great.
Despicable Me.
Yeah. And Iron Eagle 4, no thank
you. As predicted. Terrible.
And now it's time to talk about our punishment film album of the week.
Yeah.
I gave you guys an album last week by the band Chakra, and this was their album Setakoso from 1981. It's an album that I found on YouTube. I went into some YouTube wormholes, as I am wont to do, and followed the links through on these kind of vintage albums that people will rip from vinyl and put on YouTube. You can just listen to the whole thing. And it's often a good way to find weird shit that would never be on your radar otherwise.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's exactly what this was. And I found myself coming back to it more and more, and I wanted to give it to you guys to see what is up, in your opinions, with this album from 1981. Yeah. So how do you guys want to talk about this album? Because I kind of gave it to you and was just like, this is weird. It's kind of... There's elements of J-pop in the melodies, but it's also kind of new wavy, and it's also very experimental.
It's quite challenging.
It's a little challenging, but I found myself coming back to it more and more to see what's going on in it, but also just because I was really enjoying a lot of it.
Yeah.
So I wanted to know.
I found it interesting, I think is what I would land on. When it was on, I was always like, cool. When it was off, I'm like, I don't remember what that sounded like.
With the first song, I was like, boy, they're really doing, like, nobody should do this. but it's interesting enough. I was like, oh, well, good for them. They're really challenging what a melody is. Or, you know, they're really just doing a riff over and over, but you know, they're trying to make it interesting every time. And then by the second song, I was like, okay, cut it out.
I found it was good. I liked doing like menial housework while listening to it, like some dishes or cleaning up around the kitchen, because it just made me feel like I was in some weird movie.
I found the weird
thing to do while I was listening to this record was turn it off.
Oh man,
the hot streak is over, Dan.
I find some of it.
I mean, listen, this is interesting. It is, and I'm glad I heard it. Some things you should just hear to know that they exist and go like,
yeah,
and then move on.
I found some of it downright catchy, and it was in my head for days.
Oh no,
yeah, totally.
Right now, I can't quite think of what it sounds like.
No, I remember what certain songs. I remember kind of what the spirit of them, I guess.
but I don't remember what anything sounds like. And I definitely remember not wanting to listen to it.
That's yeah. Okay. Well, I find it. I think they do so much interesting stuff instrumentally and vocally. I think the vocals are the most, to me, challenging thing of them, because sometimes it's very the singing is not perfect, and it's very just like we're going for it in the vocals.
Yeah.
But I found some of it like crazy catchy, and I found some of the instrumentation like really awesome and interesting and taking really interesting chances and going in weird places.
Yeah, no, it's
yeah.
It's super interesting.
Yeah.
But
for me it translated from interesting to like I love this, I want to listen to
yeah.
it. Which is interesting that it didn't for
yeah,
you guys.
Yeah, it didn't I might try it again. I don't know.
There was some of the new waviness of it.
Totally.
Kinda like,
yeah, big time.
And the exuberance of it.
Like, yeah.
Some of it was like, oh, this seems really fun. But then it would just be like, but cut it out. Yeah. Like, stop doing this.
I'm glad I heard it.
Okay. Well,
I heard enough of it.
Yeah. That's fair.
Yeah, okay.
So that was the album I made these guys listen to.
Right.
I would be interested if anyone out there tried to listen along to Chakra's album, Setakoso, from 1981. Let me know what you think. I have a corker of a punishment coming up next time I lose, but this week,
yeah.
I'm
this
not
week.
The loser.
Yeah, I know.
Who was? Greg, you
me.
Get to give us an album.
Yes, I do.
And I've been super nice, so you should
really
pay
nice.
It forward.
Yeah, yeah.
What are you giving us?
What's the last thing I gave you?
I don't remember. It was something terrible.
Give you a
Daughtry?
Daughtry.
Daughtry.
Heard reckon. Canadian American Idol. And he came into my head because he's a judge on American Idol now.
Mm-hmm.
And he came in fourth, which is funny. And I wasn't the only person who thought it was funny. Or maybe even travesty. Because the person who won that year was like, why wouldn't you have a winner do it? He seems like a smart guy.
Oh, fuck you.
He was the old man who won American Idol, Taylor Hicks, the silver haired fella.
Mm-hmm.
Soul Patrol, I think.
So you're gonna give us something completely unrelated.
Now
that you've told this.
I can't remember what his album's called.
That was just an unrelated anecdote.
Mm. Yeah.
His album is called, I'm gonna give you his most recent, which is from 2009,
mm-hmm.
and it's called The Distance.
Okay.
And he's going
to
go there.
Now, was this something planned, or did you like have...
He's going to take you the distance, buddy.
Yeah.
Oh, he's going to fuck you.
Have going the whole way.
Have you had this in your mind for a while, or were you like...
As soon as I gave you Daughtry, and okay. I heard that Taylor Hicks was like, why would you get a winner doing? I'm like, one and two, okay. And done and done.
God damn it.
Listen, he won American Idol. How bad can it be?
Oh,
he must
be
very, very good at this
totally.
Singing soul music thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Salt and pepper soul maker.
I prefer hard rock.
Hard rockin'. Dave, well, tell me who's better.
Okay.
Who would you rather make love to?
Who's
okay.
it better? Really? All right.
Yeah.
It is now time to roll the dice.
Right.
So now I lost the die that I usually have. I'm sure I'll find it eventually.
Okay.
But
so
do we need to use? Do we want to do two dice, or do we want to just do one per person?
I think one's fine.
Yeah. Okay, because the other die goes up to 10. So
right,
I didn't know. Okay, so we are rolling this week for the new film, Atomic Blonde.
Yeah,
this is a movie that looks great.
Looks so good.
Looks amazing.
Oh my god!
Action film, and Charlize Theron kicking butt. Looks great. Now, the low roller this week is going to go see something terrible. Now, the Emoji Movie comes out, but that seems more like when it's on Netflix, we'll use it as a loser.
Sure.
I thought it had already come and gone.
Yeah.
I was like,
it's just some fucking cartoon.
That's a movie that's
movie
gone.
That, I don't know. We can even rip on it. Just seems like a waste of a review.
Yes. So instead, we're going to pick
not like our important reviews like Iron Eagle 4.
Well, someone needed to tell the story of Al Waxman.
Yeah.
And someone needs to tell the story
of toxic waste.
The new recruit. The new recruit in Cop and a Half, the new recruit.
The new recruit.
These are
starring
important
Lou
films.
Diamond Phillips and a little girl, I guess.
Oh, God, I didn't know it was Lou Diamond.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. LDP.
Fuck.
Lou
Diamond Phillips, buddy.
In the
this is a brand new motion picture.
What the shit?
Called Cop and a Half.
Oh,
new recruit.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's what a weird franchise What a weird film to get a sequel.
I know. Cop and a Half, New Recruit, 2017.
Cop and a Half was
Kid's fantasy, one cop's nightmare.
It wasn't a successful movie, was it?
This is a reboot. It's saying.
A reboot. Good,
reboot.
Yeah.
This isn't a sequel. This is a new movie that's taking a winning formula and doing it again.
I wish that...
Family-friendly action reboot of the 1993 film. Uh-huh. Yeah. This is
going
to be great.
Well, if you're going to reboot a movie, you better get LDP in it.
Yeah.
Listen, one person has viewed this on Letterboxd, so we're breaking new ground.
Yeah.
They rated it 2 stars.
Someone's got to figure it out.
Totally.
Okay.
Let's see who the director, if what he's done else. These look great. And
Pants on Fire.
Mark and Russell's Wild Ride. Nikki Deuce.
It's about that kid who takes his shit.
Oh, these movies do not look good.
No.
In Dawn.
I'm curious about Dawn, Pants on Fire.
Uh-huh. It looks terrible.
Oh, okay.
All right. So,
all right.
New Recruit, Cop and a Half versus Atomic Blonde. Two action films.
Go. Yep.
So there you go.
All right.
So okay. We're rolling.
Who's the first plunger?
Who wants to go first?
I'll plunge. I'll take the plunge.
Great.
That's a six.
Strong.
You didn't let us put the thing near it so we could get a good sound.
Oh.
That's a four.
Oh.
All right. Greg's going now.
Come on now.
Six.
That's a six.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
So
you wanted to lose so you could give us an album. Doesn't matter. Four.
What did you roll?
Six.
And he rolled six.
Yeah. So we're fine with your four.
So I'm free and you guys have to re-roll.
Quit making up fucking rules. No.
Low guy loses.
I'm free.
As for always.
I didn't roll. You guys tied. Now we need you to break the tie.
Yeah, like we've always done it.
terrific.
Son of a fuck.
Yep.
Yeah.
I am so happy that I get to give you guys this album next week.
Well, tell it to Taylor Hicks.
Takes a dump on somebody that you guys love. So enjoy that. I lost. I will be watching Cop and a Half, New Recruit, the terrible film that I was like, we got to do this as a loser. Fuck.
There
why
you
did
go.
I do that?
You got your wish.
Yeah. And you guys will be seeing the highly anticipated Atomic Blonde. And
yeah.
I will not be seeing that, you assholes.
No.
So thank you for listening to another episode of See You Next Wednesday.
Appreciate it.
Please follow us on Facebook and Twitter at SYNWPC. Email us about the albums and films and news and more that we've talked about at info@movienews.com. info@modernsuperior.com. It's been a while since we've gotten an email, so toss us some emails.
Let us know what you're thinking.
Let us know what you're thinking. Toss us some iTunes reviews.
Mm.
And keep those sleeves baloney-y.
Yeah, meat sleeves.
Yeah, as always, we will see you next Wednesday. Goodbye, Internet.
We love you so much. It's a six
it's
again.
A six.
I just wanted to
rolling at the end of the show thinking like, if that was a one, I would have held you to it.
If you keep doing this.
Yeah.
This episode has been brought to you by the Modern Superior Podcast Network.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus,
Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.